The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning and welcome to Health Matters, because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fella, and I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fella, who's the Regional Director of Patient Services and Director of Quality Assurance at A&T Healthcare. Ann, say good morning to our listening audience.
Good morning, everyone.
And now our guest today is Jay Gumier, who's also with A&T Healthcare. He's the Director of Waiver Services. Jay, thank you so much for being here again this morning. Say good morning to our listening audience.
Good morning, listening audience.
thank you so much. And we all have like very busy schedules, but today's topic, we'll be talking about forms of mental illness, and will include anxiety, depression, and even a little bit of post-traumatic stress syndrome. And then, of course, how you can deal with some of those things, particularly as far as your stress. As you know, A&T Healthcare, it's a home healthcare agency. We have offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, and New York City. And our corporate office is in New City. Sometimes people have trouble with that. New City. They think I'm talking about New York City. We at A&T are honored to be broadcasting every Thursday, and we thank you so much for making us your part of your Thursday morning. We're never controversial, we're never contentious or confrontational. But we certainly are engaging, informative, and we do accept any kind of questions on the different topics. As you know, the phone number that can be used if you have any questions or comments, we welcome them. It's 845-651-1110. And again, we're also very entertaining, and that's what I always stress when I have our guests, is that we want to make sure that we are giving information to everyone and they're learning something from it. And it's not going to be in a boring context. Let me go over a couple of things. First off, on Facebook, Ann or Jay, I feel like, remember the old show, The Price is Right? And you had to guess how much these different, I think they still have it. They used to have like a washing machine. You had to guess.
It's still on. It's very
all right,
popular.
Here's the question I'm going to ask. How many people do we now have on Facebook, on A&T? Go ahead, Ann.
How many likes?
Yes.
180.
What? Jay, do you have something?
No, nothing.
Well, give me a number.
I have nothing. Sorry.
Well, I'm happy to inform we broke the 1,000 threshold.
Get out.
Absolutely. We were a marked increase. And it's very important, okay? We were very excited when we were able to get on Facebook, because here we're going to be having videos. And even the shows that we are presenting on WTBQ, you can listen to them. They'll be chronologized. They'll say what the topic is. So if there's some topic that you might have missed or you want to find some information, just go to our website and you'll be able to do it. But it is very interactive, and we really appreciate it. And tell your friends about it, because it's a very informative website, and we really have done a great job pulling it all together. And I'm very, very happy about it, especially we hear that. That's like a major milestone. The other thing is, as I said, I'm the Director of Education, and I do want to give a shout-out to my class up in Kingston. We're doing a class up in Kingston right now, and we have a nice group of future personal care aides. But I just want our listening audience to know that for the fall schedule, we have a schedule of when we will be providing our HHA classes and our PCA training. And it's important to remember that there's no charge for this. However, you have to be interviewed, and you really have to demonstrate that you do have a particular desire to do this particular job. As I always say, it takes a special person to be able to do it. But in our New City office, we have an HHA training, and that'll be from September 14th through October 2nd. And in the Newburgh office, it's going to be for the PCA training, and that'll be from October 26th to November 4th. And then, again, we have up in Kingston, and that will be from November 9th through November 18th. But you can call the local offices if you didn't write it down, and they can tell you when it's going to be given.
Peter, what's the difference between an HHA and a PCA? What does that stand for?
Okay, HHA stands for Home Health Care Aide, and a PCA is a Personal Care Aide. What it is that an HHA can do more technical stuff. By more technical stuff, so I mean blood pressures. Temperatures. If a patient has a tracheostomy, they can work with that. even as far as with the GT tube. So their range of activities that can be done is expanded.
Okay, so they're a little more advanced.
It is more advanced. It's a longer period of time, as you can see. It's 12 days as opposed to 7 days. But as I said, it does take a special person to want to do this and to want to learn about it. Thank you for making that clarification. Sometimes I say it and I don't even think
we all understand it, but, you know.
Okay. Well, let's start our show. Okay, today we're going to be discussing anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress syndrome. One of the things that many times we're more concerned about physical health, and that when person's mental health, that sometimes is on the back burner, okay? We still feel that, many times there's this perception that if you have a physical disability or you have an injury, well, that's accepted. But if you have something to do with mental illness, you figure, well, it's something that you can't control. And that nothing could be totally false than that kind of perception, okay? People think, oh, if you're depressed, well, you take control of it and you, it's your own doing. And that isn't the case. I remember driving up on Route 17 several years ago. There was a big sign on the billboard, and it said, you never heard anyone say, hey, buck up and clear your diabetes, okay? They would never say that, but you could picture them saying about, hey, stop doing this or stop doing that. You know, you're doing it to yourselves. I always say, as I said, this is Health Matters that you're listening to, and your health does matter. But there are many aspects of it, not just the physical, but is also the mental. And I always stress is that know your body. I mean, if something isn't going right or you're and it's bothering you, it's really something that you should pay attention to, okay? I know, psychiatric medicine and psychology, it's a highly specialized field. And many times a regular physician that you have will not get involved in prescribing anything if it's necessary for some kind of a mental illness, that it really is a very highly specialized field. And we're going to be discussing the different aspects of it. But more importantly, I want you to remember that you know yourself better than anyone else does. And if something feels like a little overwhelming, pay attention to it, okay? Your body's trying to tell you something. It's a lot different than if you have a broken arm or twisted ankle or something like that. Okay, so let's get started. Let's start with Jay. Thank you again for being here. But let's start with what is anxiety?
Okay, so I have a story to tell, and Peter and Ann already know the story, so I'm basically telling everybody else that's listening right now. Yesterday morning, I was in the Kingston office, which is my home office because I live up in Ulster County, and I get a message from Ann asking if I would be on the show today, and I called her and I said, yeah, sure, I can be on the show. What's the topic that we're going to be discussing? And her response was, anything that you would like.
We have a cancellation on today's show at the last minute, and I'm so driven as far as I don't want to. We have to bring our A game here. So
yeah, and you gave me the dirty word.
I don't know if I did that, but anyway, Peter gave
me the job to ask.
Oh, yeah, right, I was afraid to.
Well, you are my supervisor.
When he was just down the hall from you.
So needless to say, when I got that message, I said, okay, I will come up with something and I will let you know. Peter was in the office that day, and so I already told him that story. But what I want to start out with, and the reason why I told this story is because, you know, that situation produced anxiety in
me. Yes.
And before we get into all of the different kinds of anxieties and all the different symptoms of anxiety, I want everyone to know that first and foremost, anxiety was created for the purpose of positive interaction. It really, when people have issues with anxiety, it's exactly what it is. It's issues. But if you have a hold on your anxiety level, it actually can be very positive. So first and foremost, yesterday morning, having that conversation with Ann, my anxiety level did increase a bit. And I did. I have always said to Ann and Peter that any time they want me to come on, I am more than willing
that's
to do
that's what
I
call
so.
When someone talks the talk. That's called walking the walk. That's
right.
How it is. Now, I forgot to mention that Jay is a licensed master of social
correct.
Work, correct?
Yes.
So, again, he does do, he can do like psychotherapy as mm-hmm. far as discussing the different issues. I did have a confession to Taylor this morning is that I know with myself, I have anxiety every show
right.
that I do right beforehand, and it is good. It gets your
right.
adrenaline flowing. You know, your senses are on alert,
right.
and it can be good as long as you can control it.
And anxiety can really help you deal with tense situations at home. It can help you deal with tense situations at work. In radio shows, you know, every week if you have to put on a radio show, the anxiety of doing it helps you focus and figure out what you're going to be doing each week. So first and foremost, I just want everybody to know that if they're feeling anxiety, it's not necessarily negative. It can be positive
right.
because it really forces you to focus and hone in for the outcome to de-stress your anxiety, which we're going to talk about later.
And that's what I'm saying. Anxiety is something that everyone has. Okay, when we come back, you're listening to Health Matters, and when we come back, we will be talking about abnormal anxiety, when anxiety becomes not a good thing.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
God has the answer to every single problem in your life. Spiritual Healing Radio will help you to find those answers. Join us on Sunday nights from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Ask God if you should tune in. God will tell you.
Hi, this is Wild Baby Love. I'd like you to join me on WTBQ every Sunday morning at 6 a.m. for praise and worship. I'll give you the phone number to the Faith phone line on Gospel Tracks with yours truly. Who? How about Wild Baby Love? WTBQ.
Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller from A&T Healthcare, and joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Feller, the Director of Patient Services at A&T Healthcare. And our guest this morning is Jay Gramier, who is the Director of Waiver Services. And our topic today is on different forms of mental illness. Before we had our break, we were talking about anxiety, and we were saying how anxiety can be a very good thing. Anxiety is something that we all experience. I said every Thursday at around 8:30, I start feeling this because I know I have our show today on WTBQ. But that can be good because it keeps you focused, it gets the adrenaline, you're alert, and it's fine. Jay, what we'd like to discuss now are what are some examples of abnormal anxiety where it's not a good thing?
Well, actually, before we get into that real fast, I just want to reference one other thing. If anybody's ever seen the movie Office Space, that's actually the antithesis of not having anxiety. So in the movie, in that movie, the lead character had worked in an office where his anxiety was like through the roof. He had 8 million people coming at him in all different directions, and you know, he just wanted to stop being anxious. He was going to leave his job. He ended up getting hypnotized, where the hypnotist basically took all of his anxiety and just
eliminated.
Let it go. It was like there was no anxiety at all. Which, on the flip side, that also could be not a good thing too, because then you just don't, you know, you kind of don't care. Like, oh yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it. And if you don't have that you know, focus and the drive that the anxiety produces for you, then sometimes getting things done would be a little bit difficult. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm saying it's positive. I'm not saying, you know, obviously there are people that have real issues with anxiety, and but for those of you that don't and just have a little bit of anxious feeling, that's what we're saying. So as far as anxiety goes, there are 5 major types of anxiety disorders, all kind of different levels of anxiety. First is, it's called general anxiety disorder, or what's called is called GAD if you hear it through like some circles. They also have obsessive compulsive disorder, panic disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, which is PTSD, which is talked about a lot these days, especially in reference to veterans. Which
I think it was actually originally
Shell shock.
The
term PTSD has gone through many metamorphoses over the years, and now we're in post-traumatic stress disorder, and then the other one is a social phobia, right. And we'll talk a little bit about phobias and what they are. Okay. As far as generalized anxiety disorder, it's really people that kind of overly worry about things like their health, their money. Everybody worries about stuff like that, money and family, and they worry right. about their health. But this is really people that have an increased anxiety to the point where it kind of starts to inhibit their life.
That's when it becomes a problem.
Right.
What's an example when you say inhibits your life?
Makes you feel physically ill?
Yeah, you would feel physically ill because of your health, or you know, you
or you can't get things done.
Yeah.
You kind of get frozen almost.
Right. I mean, it's you know, the point of anxiety is to help you get things done, but it's actually kind of doing
But if
the
it
opposite
works the opposite and you're stuck and you can't get anything done, then it's a problem.
I mean, people with generalized anxiety disorder, they you know, they worry about everyday things and they can't control their constant worries. They really can't relax. They have a hard time communicating what their issues are.
Mm-hmm. You might not even be sure what's causing the anxiety.
Right. Or they could have trouble falling asleep because they're so worried about different things that, you know, just the process of falling right. asleep. I think a lot, you know, a lot the supplement melatonin, I think, has been bigger lately.
Yes,
and I
yes.
think
right.
a lot of that has to do with just increased like thoughts. And I don't know that for sure. I'm just something I'm throwing out, but I think a lot of people are.
I think it's popular.
Using it
to help. It's pretty well known.
Yeah. But some symptoms for people that have it, you know, they could get headaches, muscle aches. They could be irritable. They can be sweating. The process of generalized anxiety just, you know, kind of develops slowly. Usually starts, you know, when you're a child, and a lot of times it could be as a result of somebody having a parent who's, you know, who's kind of, you know, generally a more anxious parent as well. So a lot of times when my wife and I with our kids, when they fall or something when they were kids, we'd always just be like, are you okay? Oh, you're all right. And if they were hurt, you know, we'd help them. But if they weren't hurt, you know, we don't flip out
They tend to flip out
when you flip out.
Right,
so.
They react to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good morning. We have a caller. Good morning, and welcome to Health Matters. Can you tell us your first name, and where are you from?
Hi, my name is Marianne.
Hi, Marianne. How are you?
I'm from Goshen.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm a holistic practitioner. I own Goshen Acupuncture, mm-hmm. and I wanted to share something. I love your show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I value home health aides. My father was cared for by a home health aide in New Jersey. So your work is very important. So I just want to share something about anxiety. I treat a lot of anxiety, and I think that it's important to share with the public that acupuncture is a wonderful modality. Mm-hmm. But there's something I learned years ago, and that is anxiety can be situational and chronic.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
It's not just, it has to be differentiated. And it's so important to know that a lot of people will go to their medical professional and they'll be diagnosed with a depressive condition when it's really anxiety.
Wow, wow. Interesting.
And so it's so important to know that, you know, regular therapy, speaking to a psychologist of some sort, is very, very helpful for anxiety. Yeah. Whereas it's such a, I just want to say it's such an important thing to discern between the two, the situational yeah. anxiety and the chronic anxiety.
Okay, the situation, situational anxiety is that, you know, the radio show, like you said, I have this anxiety
yeah.
before I'm doing the radio show,
right.
and that's it.
You know. You could have a money anxiety, very
yes,
specific
okay.
to, like, finances.
Oh, then it's chronic. I'm sorry.
Actually, I'm actually really glad that you brought it up, and that's kind of the reason why when I was putting the ideas for the show together, I wanted to make sure that we discussed depression and anxiety, because a lot of times what happens is, and maybe you can confer this, is that it's kind of like the chicken and the egg syndrome. Like either somebody could be depressed because they're anxious or anxious because they're depressed, and we really, it's part of the psychotherapy part of these things that
yeah.
you really have to kind of delve into the causality mode. Like what exactly is the cause so that we can
right.
get both things like under control.
Right.
Well, you know, I'll speak for myself. I had anxiety, but I did not have depression.
Okay.
I had anxiety from childhood that I didn't even know I had. I've spoken to a lot of people. You know, it's that you wake up in the middle of the night and your heart is pounding. I didn't know what that was. I thought, oh, this is just a weird thing. I'm going to go back to sleep. But
yeah.
that is a... But right. So that honestly did not come with depression. So it's an interesting concept. When we don't want to clump it together is what I want to
right.
share.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Right.
Absolutely. They're
right.
two separate
right.
diagnoses.
Yeah. And that's, and that's, you know, like, and like you said, a lot of times people go to their primary care physician for, you know, and I actually am one of the big proponents and not just for psychiatric issues, but really anything. I mean, you go to your primary physician for generalized things, but you really should be going to someone more related to what issues you're having. So yeah, your primary physician can say, yeah, okay, I'll give you Zoloft
right.
or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
But maybe you can ask the primary physician for the referral to someone who's very specific to whatever problem. And in this case, if you're having anxiety, you know, ask to go see a psychiatrist or psychologist so you can really come and delve into
right.
the reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Why.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Primary
the non-pharmaceutical
doctors.
Modalities.
Right.
Yes,
right.
yes, yes. There are many yeah. different venues. Miriam, thank you so much for your call.
Oh.
We appreciate it. It's very, very informative.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Okay,
thank
you too.
You too.
And thank you for the compliments on the show. Boy, that was nice. I like to hear that.
Absolutely.
People. That was very good. Public speaking. That there's so many things. Isn't that like the biggest fear that people have? You know, people
yeah.
think that that's the number one. If they said, okay, now you have to speak in front of the Warwick Rotary Club.
Mm-hmm.
When next 2 weeks, that would cause a lot of anxiety. And it
be
like,
a lot of anxiety in our house
like
for 2 weeks. All right.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so Jay, you were talking about the different kinds of anxiety. What about the obsessive compulsive disorder? Now, I always the movie was just on. What is it? As Good as It Gets with Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt. I know we've seen a lot of things, and I think what was Monk? What was his thing?
I think he was
like the same thing as that. You know, if he saw something that like if the picture was crooked, he'd have to straighten it out and that sort of stuff. And you could talk about someone being fastidious or
right.
someone that's very neat and that sort of stuff. But then it could be taken to extreme. Why don't
yeah.
you talk about that, Jay?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I may be dating myself a bit. There was a show on when I was a kid on Nickelodeon, okay? And it was
I didn't have Nickelodeon when I was a kid. That I know.
The show was called Double Dare. It was a game show where people just got...
Yes, I know.
Just people got gross every episode. And you're like, why would you do that to yourself? Anyway, I'd seen a story one time. The host of that show, Mark Summers, actually suffered from obsessive compulsive disorder. I think the best way to describe things is to kind of give real life examples because... And I saw this special. I mean, this was years ago. I saw this special, and he had area rugs with fringe. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he would be obsessive compulsive about is fixing the fringe.
I hate having fringe.
And so basically, what obsessive compulsive behavior is that you have an obsession that you have to do something, and the compulsivity part is you do it as a result, and it's really difficult. I mean, it's the obsessive. It's like, so you have the obsessive, I have to do this, and then you have the compulsion that you do.
You do it.
And the idea is that, you know, you're trying to work on getting rid of your whatever your obsession is, so that you can not do the compulsive behavior. There are people that can't go out of the house because they constantly think that their oven burners are on. Because they're obsessed that their oven burners, they left them on, and they cannot leave. They have to constantly go back and check seven, eight times.
Right, so it's not about me who has to go around the house before I leave the house and make sure everything's in order before I leave.
One time is okay.
One time. Right. But if I have to keep going back and saying, I have to fix that, that's kind of how that show Monk was. He always had to go back to check. Open the door, close the door, open the door, like that kind of thing.
So, I mean, obsessive compulsive, you know, when people have it, you know, it's pretty noticeable. You know, people throw out, well, that person's OCD. They throw out that term all the time.
Right.
And truly being obsessive compulsive is a hindrance on the life of the person and their family. It's not just, oh, they're OCD and it's the flippant comment. It's actually truly an issue that would need to be addressed by someone.
Mm-hmm. Right. I hear you. I actually, we do that at home sometimes. Like, oh, well, that's just my OCD.
Yeah,
but it's really just I want things in order so I don't have to worry about it later.
There are a lot of psychiatric conditions that people throw those terms in. Right. And, like, it's, you know, sometimes...
But in reality, if I can't leave my house because...
Yeah, and that's what we're saying. If you take it to an extreme level, like even washing your hands, that's another strong compulsion that they don't want to shake hands with people and mm-hmm. Even like Howard Hughes, right? Remember all the movies that he was something like that. He didn't want to leave the house. He became a recluse. But those were certain things that he'd had.
Which is actually another. Yeah. We wanted to talk about that, about not being able to leave the house.
We're talking about phobias. Yeah, yeah. I think that's important to talk about as well.
Yeah, which can be very scary.
But what about a panic disorder, JD? Do you want to talk on that?
Well, a lot of times people are deemed of having panic attacks, and a panic attack can come into the form of if your heart is pounding, if you're getting sweaty, if you're feeling weak or faint or dizzy, and they usually become because of a sense of unreality or a feel of impending doom that a panic attack will come. And you know, it's one of those things that, you know, anxiety. If you're in an anxious situation, then anxiety is good, but a panic attack is kind of taking anxiety and boosting it to the next level, and that's where there's
to where
an
you're
issue.
Now physically
like a pounding
disabled.
Heart. I don't know if you think you're getting like a heart attack or something, but those are the things that can pull into it. You're listening to Health Matters, and my name is Peter Fellum. When we come back, we will be talking about depression.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for are patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hi, this is Stacey Lawrence of the Greenwood Lake Garden Center here with my co-host,
Kevin Sweeney of the Windermere Agency.
We would love it if you all would join us every Friday from 11 to 12 on WTBQ for Greenwood Lake Radio.
All Greenwood Lake, all the time.
Hi, this is Taylor. Have your second cup of coffee with me every Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. Learn the latest in news, gossip, health, entertainment, and of course, all about animals. WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ,
we'll have a warm and humid day today with clouds around. The temperature should hold in the mid-80s, and showers and thunderstorms will become more numerous during the afternoon, some with heavy rainfall. Tonight, scattered showers, thunderstorms will end, becoming partly cloudy. We'll head down to 60 and 65. Sunny tomorrow with a high and low 80s. Clear tomorrow night in the upper 50s, and Saturday mostly sunny, and a high should reach into the lower 80s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima.
WTBQ.
And welcome back. You're listening to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fell, the Director of Patient Services throughout Hudson Valley and throughout all of A&T. And we have Jay Gumier, who's the Director of Waiver Services. As you know, A&T Healthcare is a home healthcare agency, and we provide home care in your home. If you have any scheduled surgical procedures and you need some assistance when you're discharged from the hospital, that's exactly where A&T can come in. Today's episode, you're listening to Health Matters, is we're talking about different forms of mental illness, and we had a lot that we were talking about on anxiety. But then we wanted to talk about depression, and a lot of times I'll have Jay, who is a licensed master in social work, and he's trained as far as psychotherapy, which is really just discussing, you know, different issues with as a practitioner. But we're talking about depression, and one of the things, it's more than just feeling down in the dumps. I know I find myself sometimes, if we have no sun or have rain, I'm just feeling down, but that isn't depression or something like that. Jay, could you tell us about what exactly is depression?
Well, I mean, depression is you know, it's kind of exactly what it sounds. I mean, it's basically somebody that is having a depressed mood or thoughts. Maybe they can't eat or sleep, and they're having thoughts about things and just feeling just horrible about them. And there are different levels of depression. I mean, it's you know, there are some people that are truly just not happy with things. I mean, it's, you know, they're, once again, we talked before about how there's a lot of terms, like psychiatric terms, that are just kind of thrown out there right. A lot of times, maybe even more than they should be. And depression is one of them. I mean, how many times a day do you hear somebody say, "Oh, I'm so depressed today"?
Right.
You know, well, no, you're not depressed. Depressed is actually a clinical term. And there are people that go see psychologists and psychiatrists and clinical social workers that are diagnosed with some form of depression. You are sad.
Right.
You're upset.
Down in the dump, down. Running blue.
It's okay to be sad and upset about something. It's, you know, depression is something that really needs to be monitored, and you know, you need to make sure that if you have this condition, that you're really talking to somebody. You know, sometimes on a weekly basis, if need be, because, you know, it could lead to some pretty severe issues with your life.
Now, depression could also be a reaction to something in your life, or could it be
right.
a chronic
it's problem? There are depression diagnoses that are related specifically to events. One of the things that distinguishes depression diagnoses, one for the versus the other, are time frames.
Right.
Somebody with major depression is really a time frame of probably a couple years.
Okay.
Somebody who has depressive disorder is not going to be as, you know, it's not as major depression. It's going to be a little, you know, less than that. There is currently, we're moving from the DSM-4 to the DSM-5, and things are changing, but there has been a diagnosis called adjustment disorder, okay, which is really for people that have depression symptoms for about 6 months or less. I mean, it's not an ongoing thing. So your level of need and your level of depression diagnosis, and the reason why you get these diagnoses is that, so if somebody else is helping you at different times, if you have to go to the hospital or if you're someplace else, then they know what level of care you require,
mm-hmm,
so that you're better, you can be better taken care of, mm-hmm, if you're in a specific situation where you need
right.
So,
but I know, like, sometimes when you have like a bad day, or everyone has bad days and good days,
right,
okay, we all have that. But sometimes I find that if you have one bad day, okay, that's it. Then you have another bad day, and then all these consecutive days, and things that don't even bother you, it just seems, it becomes overwhelming, okay? I always remember, I have to say to them, I'm talking on a personal thing, not that I had any formal depression, but I just remember last year, my lawnmower broke. I just bought it. It was like 2 months. It broke, and they couldn't get the part for it. So I had all these, like, over 2 months to get the part they never had. I had a grandfather clock that was broken. The guy couldn't fix it. He said he would. Something happened with my car. All of a sudden, the battery wasn't working. And then the guy wasn't shoveling wasn't raking the leaves. But it was like all these things were going on at the same time. And little tiny things were just starting to bother me. And, you know, not that I had any formal of any diagnosis of depression, but it just seemed it became overwhelming. And that's part of what happens, that, you know, things that, you know, just rolls off your shoulder, now it becomes an issue.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, and there are depression diagnoses that involve some psychosis, any kind of psychotic behavior, delusions, hallucinations. You know, it's possible. And there are also, of course, most people are aware of postpartum depression, depression that you get after you would have a child, and, you know, maybe you think that you're not going to be a good mother, or, you know, something to that effect.
Fears.
It could last a while too. And then there's actually a diagnosis called seasonal affective disorder. And seasonal really just means that there are certain seasons, and everybody's like, oh, that you must mean the winter, because in winter it gets, you know, we're sad.
I do a presentation. It's sad. You just use the acronym.
Yep.
And that's when they turn the clocks back, because then when you turn your clocks back, it's colder, it gets darker early, and that sort of stuff.
Right.
And I do notice a difference in me, but as I said, it doesn't get taken to the extreme where, oh, I can't get out of bed. Or so. I know we always talk about that. We always say, oh, look at how great it is. It's still, particularly when we turn our clocks ahead.
Right.
Oh, this is great.
Oh, it's
light
still
out.
Light at 10
but
at 8
I guess
o'clock
if you're
or
noticing, yeah, it's starting to get a little darker right now with the earlier and that sort of stuff.
Oh. That can make you sad.
Yeah.
Makes me sad.
Seasonal affective disorder, yes.
Thinking
sad
about, you know, that the summer's almost over.
Right.
Or half over. I guess it's halfway.
Yeah,
through.
It's half over.
Or
well,
you
depends,
should say,
depends on where when the summer starts.
I guess
starts.
You have to say we're halfway through the summer, as opposed to it's, you know, almost over, but.
Right.
Or halfway to the end. You know, the glass is half full or half empty. But.
Right, but. To just enjoy. Don't wish it away. That's what
and
Anna
that, and
don't
that,
wish it
yeah,
away.
We don't wish. Yeah. We try not to rush the week or rush the days. And it seems the older we get, they seem to go a little quicker.
Yeah.
Jay, would you be able to tell us something about what causes depression? What are some things that may cause depression?
Well, one of the causes of depression, you know, and this is not an excuse for this. It can be an excuse for some people, but it's not really an excuse. It's a reason. Could be genetics. You could be in a family where depression is kind of par for the course, and it's something that you should kind of be thinking about if that does happen, so mm-hmm. that, you know, you can see if it is something that could affect you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, it could be physiological. There could be some kind of imbalance of chemicals in your brain that kind of cause you to go that route. that's where maybe a medication would be beneficial more than maybe counseling. Depends, and that's something that you would have to address with the doctor.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, you said something about medication. I really have to throw this in, that this is my registered nurse coming through, but always remember, any supplements that you are taking, if you see your doctor, let them know about it. I think St. John Wort's is one of the it's an over-the-counter thing, but that can impact on what you take, and I know that's one of the things that's...
As well as melatonin.
Yeah, as melatonin.
Right. Like, I know, just because you can purchase it at CVS or whatever, or the local ShopRite, doesn't mean that it's not going to affect any meds that you may be taking. So always inform your doctor, even if you're taking vitamin D or vitamin C or a multivitamin. Thank you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. For women, obviously there's some hormonal issues for women that could cause some kind of depression symptoms, different stages in life. And also stress. And this is one of those, we talked a little bit about before, what comes first. Stress could cause some depression symptoms. And sometimes people are depressed and it causes them some stress.
Especially if you're stressed and you feel like you're overwhelmed and you almost feel defeated and then you feel depressed about it.
It's and another thing is medical illnesses. I mean, we've all here sitting at this table worked in nursing homes and if you think about it, how many people in the nursing homes that you've worked at, and I could say for me, this is the case. How many of them have depression diagnoses as part of their of their diagnosis list? And the reason why is because they all have these medical conditions that require them to be in these nursing homes, and they're feeling upset because they can't be with the family
where they want to be.
And I always remember we did talk about the other, but depression is not a normal part of aging. Always remember that there may be a percentage that are clinically
doesn't mean because you're older.
But don't think that's the normal part of the aging process. I always like to interject that. Jay, what are some signs of depression that someone is depressed?
Well, I mean, if you are feeling this way, you see somebody feeling this way, you really should be contacting someone. These are some of the symptoms you really kind of need to look out for. Just the feeling of sadness or emptiness, hopeless and helplessness. I mean, for this short time that I was in an ANT for the last 5 years, I was at St. Francis Hospital, which is now Mid-Hudson Regional, yada, yada. Otherwise known as St. Francis, in my mind, that's what I know it as. And a lot of the terms that we use were feelings of hopelessness and helplessness.
Right.
When you're dealing with depression, feelings of decreased energy, not able to focus. Ironically, sleeplessness and sleepiness are both symptoms of depression.
Right.
So a person could either have some kind of insomnia, or they could be tired all the time.
Sleeping all the time. Now that's very, and it's also eating. I think that's the other. Sometimes you could have, being depressed, you could be eating everything in sight, and that's, I guess, kind of because you have that emptiness feeling.
Right.
But then there are other people that have no appetite at all.
Right.
So it's interesting. If you're sleeping all the time, not sleeping,
I know when I get upset,
eating all the time, not eating.
When I get upset, I eat. So yes, I understand that. But I know other people get upset, they don't eat anything.
So just think, he's not depressed because he's eating so much.
I have one more point I need to make when we come back from the break, if you don't mind. Go ahead.
Wait. Okay, and...
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hey, this is Joe Danz. Connect the dots in these challenging times with my Creativity and Technology for Business and Life show every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WTBQ, AM 1110 and FM 93.5. Radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Austin DuBois of Bluestein Shapiro, Rich & Barone. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for It's the Law and learn what the law is. Ask questions, get answers right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ. And welcome back to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter.
That's a very stress-relieving bumper music, actually, I have to say. I like that music.
You know, I do find it a lot of times having like soft music playing. Yeah. It does have a tranquiling effect, and you always have to like enjoy it and stuff like that. So just set your time when you listen to the hard rock and roll and stuff. But I'm kind of like really from that point. Jay, you want to finish up a point now we're talking
about? Yeah,
I
did. And obviously, a lot of times people equate hand-in-hand depression and suicide. And I want to make it clear, people that have depression aren't necessarily suicidal.
Right.
There are people who are suicidal that suffer from depression. But, you know, one of the questions when I was working for the hospital, one of the questions we always asked is, do you have thoughts of killing yourself? Most, you know, obviously people are going to say what they want to say, but what I'm saying to you is that not everybody who's depressed is suicidal. And I just wanted to be sure that was kind of put out there.
It's always important.
But it is a symptom.
Right. But it's always important. And I do stress that when I'm training our classes, the PCA or an HHA, is that if they start saying something like, oh, I am so depressed, I wish I were dead or something like that.
That's a problem.
I always stress that you immediately call your nursing supervisor. Right. Okay. Right. And I always say, as far as the documentation, you don't call up your nursing supervisor, oh, the patient's depressed, but say patient stated such right. and such, but that's right. a big issue that I always, if they start saying, what's the sense right. of living and that sort of stuff, tell your nursing supervisor. Maybe there may be some kind of intervention that may be needed.
And I know we're talking specifically about RAs because that's what we do. Mm-hmm. But I would say that to basically anybody out there that's listening, that if you hear somebody mm-hmm. that has any vocalization of death or wanting to do something to hurt themselves, Don't just go, oh, they're depressed, because, you know, doctors are really the one that needs to diagnose that. But definitely say they said to me this right. so that they can make the proper determination. Because if the professionals in the hospitals and doctor's offices, if they don't hear those things, then they don't know, because they're not right. a lot of times the patients don't tell us. Yeah. Right. But they'll tell you. So the best thing for you to do is to let someone know if you're concerned, because if not, then somebody may not know.
Yeah, because a lot of times they don't want to, you know, even I always say with their aides, they may say something to you, but they wouldn't say it to their loved ones because right. you didn't want them to be upset. And
yes.
that's an important venue like that to remember. I know we did talk a little bit about post-traumatic stress syndrome, but, you know, we have a lot of other things to cover. We did mention it, but we do have Kristen Farrell, who's going to be our guest from the Veterans Affair. And why don't we reserve some of that? I say this each week, is that where did the time go? And I guess I'm saying it this time, but we did touch on it, but we will discuss it more when we have our guest from the Veterans Affair, Kristen Farrell, who's scheduled for August 20th, okay?
Okay.
August 20th, like that. So, Ann, why don't you talk now about dealing with stress, like, you know,
Absolutely. You know, Jay talked a lot about anxiety, and stress is also like anxiety, and we live very stressful lives, and most stress is normal, and even as Jay said, with anxiety is useful. Stress can help you get maybe work a little harder, reach your goals. You know, when you have a deadline, that little element of stress can help us. It's when stress or anxiety is overwhelming and we can't complete those things, or they make us ill, that, you know, can be more effective or more detrimental. But, you know, you don't need a spa weekend or a retreat or vacation just to deal with stress and reduce your stress. There are ways that you can help yourself to deal with stressful situations or times when things are more stressful, or just your everyday stressful lives, because we know that we live a lot of, we have stress every day in our life. And some of the things you can do is just slow down.
Slow down.
Take 5 minutes to go outside and take a deep breath and just breathe the air, whether it's summertime, wintertime, anytime. You know, yesterday everybody was complaining about how hot it was, and I walked out at lunchtime and took a deep breath and went, oh my God, it's wonderful. It smells like summer. It was really...
It felt like summer.
And it felt like... And I like that. And I like that even in the winter when you walk out and it's freezing.
Yeah.
You know, you just take that time just to focus on what's around you.
One of the things that I saw in here, just want to mention it, is one of the things on the list that Anne gave us was tune into your body. And so one of the easiest ways that I was taught to do that is, you know, there's a natural way that people fold their hands, like grab their hands together.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Do it the unnatural way. And it feels uncomfortable. And that helps you kind of tune in and close your eyes. And it helps you kind of tune into to your body and the uncomfortableness that you're feeling to help you kind of like take out the outside anxiety and really focus on how you're feeling inside.
How what your body feels like. And a lot of times you can just, when you're lying in bed, even at night, and sometimes I do this just to like relax my body, but I'll focus on each part of I'll usually start at my toes and just think about my toes and how they feel.
Yeah.
And then your legs and how they feel, and your arms and your hands. And then I get to my head and I think about, you know, how, and by then I've already relaxed my body.
Right.
You know, just thinking about how I feel. Another thing that complete opposite of that relaxation is crank up the tunes in your radio in your car. You know, when I'm like driving home from work or even driving to work or driving, I'll put on some music and I'll crank it up, and that'll distract me and kind of get my
I don't, when
make
I,
me stop
when I use
thinking
your car
about
I
everything.
Can't believe the stations that you're listening to. Who's listening? Oh, I like
like the popular music. I mean, I'm a 70s child, but I do like the popular music, and I like to crank it up and you know.
You're a closet Taylor Swift fan.
I am a closet Taylor Swift fan. Or I might be doing the Uptown Shuffle in my car. You never know. So that, you know, that's a way that complete opposite of, you know, relaxing. And get moving. You know, if you're feeling stressed, take a walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now I'm taking dance lessons. I think that's, you know, very, very good for stress. It makes you feel good about yourself, too. And the other thing is be grateful. You know, write a journal. I know my kids, they write down things that have happened over the year, and they write on a little piece of paper, they put it in a jar, and on New Year's they read all the things that they've done and look at your accomplishments. You know, look at how things are going and how, you know, well, journals and you know, writing a note to yourself is a good thing for you. So, you know, keep that in mind when you start feeling stressed. You can take a few minutes even just to read through those notes and say, look at how much I've done. So there's a lot of things that you can do to, you know, help yourself de-stress.
And, you know, again, whatever works for you, that's what's important. But you do have to do it. And sometimes just having quiet time and even just deep breathing, clear your lungs. Believe it or not, sometimes it's so simplistic that it's just not going to work. But no, in actuality, it does. And that's always important, is that you have to know your body, know how it's feeling, and you don't want it to get it to the next level. And if you do find yourself going into the next level, then it's important that you, you know, address it somehow.
And the whole point of the reason why we're having this conversation today, the biggest point you can make more than anything else, is if you feel that your anxiety or your sadness or anything is more than it should be, or you see somebody else that their anxiety or sadness is more than it should be, please either encourage yourself or encourage the other person to seek something professional so that you can see if if you're okay.
Now, Jay, I really want to thank you so much for the last minute. This was a wonderful topic. It's been very informative. And again, you're listening to Health Matters. We're all out of time. I don't know where the time goes, but as I always like to say at the end, is that stay healthy. because your health matters. And to you, your family and friends, all the best. We'll see you next week on Thursday, okay? Have a good one, everyone.
See you later.